Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 24, Text 11. This chapter is entitled The Renunciation of Kardama Muni. Sabhajayan
Sabhajayan
Vishudena
Vishudena
Chetasa
Chetasa
Tat
Tat
Chikirshitam
Chikirshitam
Parishyamane
Parishyamane
Asubhi
Asubhi
Kardamam
Kardamam
Cha
Cha
Idam
Idam
Abhyadat
Abhyadat
Sabhayajan Vishudhena
Sabhayajan Vishudhena
Chetasattat Chikirchitam
Chetasattat Chikirchitam
Prariyasyamanera Subhi
Prariyasyamanera Subhi
Kardamam Chidam Abhyadat
Kardamam Chidam Abhyadat
Sabhaya Jan Vishudhena
Sabhaya Jan Vishudhena
Chetasattat Chikirshitam
Chetasattat Chikirshitam
Prariyasyamanera Manera Subhi Kardamam Chidam Abhyadat Sabhaya Jan Vishudhena Chetasattach Chikirshitam Prari Syamanera Subhi Kardamam Chitam Abhyada. Sabhayajan.
Sabhayajan.
Sorry. Sabhajayan.
Sabhajayan.
Worshipping.
Worshipping.
Vishudhena.
Vishudhena.
Pure.
Pure.
Chetasa.
Chetasa.
With a heart.
With a heart.
Tat.
Tat.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Chikirshitam.
Chikirshitam.
The intended activities.
The intended activities.
Prarishyamane.
Prarishyamane.
Gladden.
Gladden.
Asubhi.
Asubhi.
With senses.
With senses.
Kardamam.
Kardamam.
To Kardamamuni.
To Kardamamuni.
Cha.
Cha.
And Devahuti.
And Devahuti.
Idam.
Idam.
This.
This.
Habyadat.
Habyadat.
Spoke.
Spoke.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. After worshipping the Supreme Lord, with. After worshipping the Supreme Lord with gladdened senses and a pure heart for his intended activities as an incarnation, Brahma spoke as follows to Kardama Muni and Devahuti. Please repeat after me. After worshipping the Supreme Lord,
after worshipping the Supreme Lord,
with gladdened senses,
with gladdened senses,
and a pure heart,
and a pure heart,
for his intended activities as an incarnation,
for his intended activities as an incarnation,
Brahma spoke as follows,
Brahma spoke as follows,
to Kardama and Devahuti,
to Kardama and Devahuti,
as explained in Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter. Anyone who understands the transcendental activities, the appearance and the disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to be considered liberated. What's that verse? Yeah, what's the verse? Brahma, therefore, is a liberated soul. Although he is in charge of this material world, he is not exactly like the common living entity. Since he is liberated from the majority of all the follies of the common living entities, he was in knowledge of the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he therefore worshipped the Lord's activities, and with a glad heart he also praised Kardama Muni, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Kapila, had appeared as his son. One who can become the father of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly a great devotee. There is a verse spoken by a Brahmana in which he says that he does not know what the Vedas and what the Puranas are. But while others might be interested in the Vedas and the Puranas, he is interested in Nanda Maharaj, who appeared as the father of Krishna. The Brahmana wanted to worship Nanda Maharaj because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as a child, crawled in the yard of his house. These are some of the good sentiments of devotees. If a recognized devotee brings forth the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his son, how he should be praised. Brahma, therefore, not only worshipped the incarnation of Godhead Kapila, but he also praised his so-called father, Kardama Muni. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Janam Jana Shalakaya Chashurin Militam Janata Smai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Janabhutale Shayan Rupa Kadamayam Darati Shvapadantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Good morning, everyone. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes? In devotional service, bhakti yoga, one should always seek blessings and attract mercy. Where are those blessings coming from? Where is this mercy coming from? From sadhus? Yes? From the deities? From the spiritual master? Somehow or other, a devotee never goes ahead with any plans, any service, even any thoughts, without first checking with someone more advanced, or begging for mercy. This means that the devotee never feels qualified to be with Krishna alone. Or one never feels qualified that he or she has obtained Krishna. This is always the fruit or the reward of one's devotional service. If it comes, it comes. If it doesn't come, it doesn't matter. We always cling on to the idea that somehow or other there will be mercy. That's the principle of bhakti. Just like the clouds are moving into the sky, the rain may fall or the rain may not fall. Prabhupada mentions in the translation of the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur of Vibhava Rishesha, it mentions the chakora bird. Yes? You know, this chakora bird is very expert. Just like the swan has the ability to extract, to divide the milk and the water just to get the essence. The chakora bird, they're expert to get raindrops from the cloud without being struck by thunder. Hey, chakora. Have you seen chakoras in India? I've never seen them, but chakora exists. So, similarly, a devotee attitude in spiritual life is that the devotee is always expecting Krishna's mercy to come at any time. And if it doesn't come, it is Krishna's mercy. And if it comes, that's the cherry on the cake. Extra blessings. So, within the circle of all the associates of Krishna, his expansion, the expansion of his expansions, his energies, and the jivas who are tatashta shakti, who have the choice to choose whether they want to turn towards Krishna or they want to turn their back to Krishna. Those who want to turn to Krishna, they obviously expose themselves to receive at some point Krishna's mercy. And what's the first thing that happens? Brahmanda Brahmite Konya Bhagavan Jiv Guru Krishna Prashadepai Bhakti Lata Beach. Brahmanda Brahmite, the jiva is traveling from one universe to another trying to work out, what am I supposed to do here? And with the influence of the three modes of material nature, the false ego believes that I'm actually the lord of everything. Even if I'm a little bug, I can control another smaller bug. That's how much illusion there is. So, at some point, by some good fortune, what's that verse in Bhagavad Gita? Yesham tvantakatam papam gyanamam punyakarmanam tidvandva nayanim muktam bhajantimam dridavrataha. It's not something that just happens overnight. It's an accumulation of punya karma. By performing pious activities, and we have to be very, very careful about the meaning of pious. Because pious doesn't mean just $10 in the hundi. Yes? Or opening hospitals. Or curing the diseased. Or giving things in charity. Or feeding the poor. This can help to clean the hearts, to be more sensitive to what's going on in the world, to feel more selfless, to be helpful, to contribute. We do these cooking workshops in Beijing. Those cooking workshops, they go for 3 days. We have theory in the morning and then cooking in the afternoon. And people, they sign up for the cooking class, but actually all they're going to get for 3 days is Bhagavad Gita teaching. And we explain to them how people, and today it's a big topic, the environment, right? What kind of footprint do we leave behind everything that we do? Whether it's a plastic cup, a plastic plate, a plastic spoon, a plastic bag, right? Excuse me? Carbon footprint, not footprint in the mud. Carbon footprint. How much do we contribute to the environment? How much do we contribute to the community? How much we contribute to society? How much we contribute to Mother Earth? How much we contribute to the protection of cows? These things help us to have a soft heart, but it's not enough. Because a lot of people are good. They still eat meat. They still put their brain into a TV screen. They still waste so much time. They never inquire about spiritual life. So where are these pious activities coming from? Yesham tvantakatam papam. When we are rid of papa, sinful activities. First we have to understand what are sins. Most people don't even know. It's like it's part of the system. It's like it's part of the psyche. Being sinful, hey, that's where I am. I'm a good guy. But if you look through the pages of the Bhagavatam, there's no hope. Yesham dvantakatam papam gyananam punya karma. Activities that are actually purifying. And the only activities that purify is when we are directly engaged in devotional service or we serve someone who is engaged in devotional service. So there is, as we know, agata sukriti. Yes? People perform pious activities without even knowing that they are. Do we have an example of that?
Eating at crossroads.
Eating at crossroads. That's right. Eating lots of papadums. Tons of papadums. Yes? And drinking lots of lassi. Any other examples of punya agyata sukriti? Listening to Harinam. You know, there's something very interesting about Harinam. There's one proper disciple, Kishori Mataji, from Europe. And in the early days in Europe, devotees used to go on Harinam every day, but it was austere. You know, sometimes they had to go and dance in the snow and everything. And then one time Prabhupada came to Amsterdam and she asked him, says, Prabhupada, you know, what about all these people who are hearing the Maha Mantra on the street? And Prabhupada said, those who hear the Maha Mantra on the street, they make as much advancement as the devotees who are chanting. And she's thinking, wow, why should I do so much austerity? I should just stand on the street and listen to the kirtan. So people who hear the Maha Mantra, they get so much purification. How many devotees came to Krishna consciousness just by being down on the street and hearing, what's this? They just hear the kirtan and then something is triggered in their consciousness. They become familiar. I like this. And then they begin to perform pious activities. So gradually until we meet the sadhu, and then we begin the journey back to Krishna. And at every step, the devotee looks at the scriptures, looks at the sadhus, looks at the spiritual master to make sure, as we know, sadhu, guru, shastra. It's one line. To check that we make progress without making mistakes, that we're progressing without committing offenses, and that the heart is being cleansed gradually. So, in this verse, this verse and the next verse, actually very, very amazing verses, because they show the relationship. There are two types of relationship here. There's a relationship, father and son, and then there's a relationship between sadhus. Brahma and Karnama both are sadhus. Not only are they both sadhus, but they're both pure devotees. Prabhupada makes the statement, therefore Brahma is a pure devotee. Why is he a pure devotee? Because he has the knowledge that the Supreme Lord is going to appear. How would you know if you don't have the knowledge? Now, Prabhupada also explained that not all the Brahmas are pure devotees. Who is Brahma? Is an empowered jiva. Could be you. Could be you. You remember when you were Brahma? You forgot, huh? How many heads did you have? You know? Not all the Brahmas are on the Vishuddha Sattva platform. Prabhupada says, this Brahma is a pure devotee. When you hear Prabhupada's translation of Brahma Samhita, when he comments on that tape, he says, Brahma performed austerities for 1,000 celestial years. What mantra did he chant? That was his tapasya, right? He performed tapasya for 1,000 celestial years. What was the form of his tapasya? Did he do Zen yoga? What did he do? How did he become realized? He chanted the Maha Mantra? Achcha. Any other suggestion? Shukadev, you should know this. He chanted Brahma Samhita. Pasanandini? Gopal Mantra. You received the Gopal Mantra. Yes? Wait. So you received the Gopal Mantra and he chanted. Is there someone else who is famous for having gone back to Krishna by chanting the Gopal Mantra? Gopakumar. He received the Gopal Mantra from his guru. And every time he became distracted by the different allurements of the material world, He was asked to become Indra, he was asked to be a king, and every time he said, oh, what's going on? Go back to the Gopal mantra, to stay fixed on the path. So Brahma became acquainted, Prabhupada says, Brahma became acquainted with all transcendental knowledge, not just about Vaikuntha, but about Goloka Vrindavan, by chanting this mantra. And then Prabhupada mentioned something interesting. He says, not everything was revealed to him. What is it that wasn't revealed to Brahma? Everything about Goloka Vrindavan was revealed except one thing. That was the intimate, the Siddhanta, the intimate pastimes of Krishna with the gopis of Vrindavan. But later on, he was exposed to those pastimes. So Brahma was qualified to know the Supreme Lord entirely, inside out. How do we know that? Because then he composed the hymns of creation, Brahma Samhita. And as we know, they are 100 chapters. But all disappeared except chapter 5. Who discovered the chapter 5 of Brahma Samhita? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Where did he discover this chapter? Which temple? Adikeshava temple. Yes. He came back from South India with two books. Brahma Samhita and Krishna Karnamrita. When he arrived in Puri with those two books, you know, there's no chik-chik-chik. No scanning, no files. Everything handwritten. And all the devotees were passing the books around and they were all handwriting. All of them. They were just grabbing the books to copy them and to memorize them. So in Brahma Samhita, you get the entire explanation and exposure of the spiritual world. And especially Goloka Vrindavan. How it is guarded from all sides. And how one can enter. And once one enters Goloka Vrindavan, what do you see? So with his eyes, and that's what acharyas do when they write. When the acharyas write, they write because they see. It's not a mental or intellectual exercise. They actually see. They have the vision. Shastra Chakshu. Yes? What they see within their heart, they write it down. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was with Tirtharaj Prabhu, who was staying in the hotel for the national festival with the devotees. And while he was doing his Giriraj Puja, I would read the Bhagavatam to him. I was actually reading some parts of these chapters. And then I would read the purport, and then he would stop doing his puja, and I would stop reading, and we would look at each other, and then we say, how did Prabhupada come up with something like this? It's actually very amazing. When you read Prabhupada's purport, or when you read Prabhupada's book, always keep in mind, it's in the middle of the night, right? Everyone is sleeping. Prabhupada is up with the dictaphone, all on his own. He's got Sridhar Swami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami. He's got the books of the Acharya's commentary and he writes. But he always said, I don't write this book. Krishna writes them. I'm only holding the pen. Krishna writes this book. So transcendental knowledge, as we know, is Samvit Chakti. It is revealed within the heart. The entire knowledge is revealed within the heart. Sarvasya chaham ridi sanivishto matak smitir gyanam apohanam cha vedeshta sarver aham eva vidyo vidavit vedantakrit vidavit eva chaham. Krishna reveals everything is already there. It is just a question of how conscious we are, how willing we want to receive Krishna within the heart, how willing we are to hear. Krishna is ready anytime. And it's the same, for example, with spreading Krishna consciousness. What are our capabilities to attract people to Krishna consciousness, to that level, Krishna gives the facility. Again, the example with our Sankirtan in mainland China. 8 years ago, devotees were meeting in a tiny small apartment, right? Two rooms, about one-fifth of this temple room, packed with devotees, and we had to whisper, you know, to chant, to do kirtan, we have to whisper, the neighbors may call the police, very, very dangerous situation. Then they got a three-bedroom apartment, packed with devotees. Then somebody made a big step forward and found this 200 square meter space that we turned into temple, prasadam hall, and kitchen, and then devotees rented small room as ashram. And it was clear that because the devotees were ready, Krishna was walking side by side with them. You ready for this? I'm ready for this. You want the whole city? How are you going to do it? You want millions of people to join? How are you going to handle them? I give you as much as you can digest, as much as you can handle. Otherwise, what happened? You make a mess, and it's just an embarrassment for the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Right? You understand that principle? Melbourne is the same. As much as devotees are willing to do, Krishna is willing to give. That's why Prabhupada called the Radha Krishna deities in Paris, Radha Paris, Ishwar. And the deities in London, Radha London, Ishwar. It doesn't mean that they belong to a suburb and that's all. They actually control the whole city. Now it's up to the devotees how much they're willing to give to bring people to Krishna's lotus feet. So, what was the next step? Just last year, devotees made another leap forward. Now we got a 2,000 square meter space. Baba, this is bigger than this temple. The temple room is five times the size of this temple room. It's a huge temple room. And then we're going to install deities, and the place is packed. The bigger the temple room, the more people fit in. Now we have one section for VIPs and yoga training and seminar, one section for pujaris and temple, one section for ashram, and a huge kitchen. We would never think that this would ever happen. But because devotees want to make the effort, they want to make the austerity, Krishna is willing to give and give and give. And then we recently had this national festival for the first time in 30 years. We would never think that we could do it. 800 devotees coming together in one place. And it's very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. We can be shut down in a moment and we go back 20 years back on the ground. So, you take risk, Krishna is happy. The more tapasya, Krishna is happy. And then Krishna gives more and more. So that's the relationship between Krishna and his devotees. So what's the case here? Kardama Muni, very obedient to his father. He received an instruction. He followed that instruction all the way through. From the beginning of his conversation, Brahma instructed him. And then he followed that instruction all the way to the end. Now you'll see the next verse tomorrow, how Brahma is so happy. And here it's mentioned, gladden senses. And Prabhupada in the purport mentions, gladden heart. How the heart is gladdened, glad, right? Glad means happy, joyful. But it's not based on a sense perception, like you get excited for 2 seconds and then you become morose again. The ups and downs of the mental conditions. No, this is spiritual ecstasy. Absolute spiritual ecstasy. And it's reflected on the relationship. I am so proud of you. How many fathers can be proud of their son for making so much spiritual progress? Every father dreams, oh my son, oh my daughter. When will you go to the Gurukul? When will you bow down to the deities? Like when the when the devotees' babies are born and they go goo goo gaga, the parents say, "Oh, he said Prabhupada." What do you mean he said Prabhupada? He said goo goo gaga. No, he said Prabhupada. Nya nya nya. He said Radha Krishna. No, he said nya 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 nya. You know, parents are like, please, you know, Krishna, give me a beautiful son. And you never know what will happen to your children. Never. You can raise and raise and raise and raise. One day they walk off and you can't hold them back. That's why the training is so important. Kardama Muni was trained. Brahma was trained. And it says here that Brahma doesn't have parents. He's called Svayambhu. Yes? Who is his father? Huh? Narada? Narada is his son. Who is Brahma's father?
Narayan.
Who is his mother? Prabhupada mentions this later on in this coming chapter. It's actually Lakshmi Devi. Because while he is sitting on the lotus, Lakshmi Devi is massaging Lord Brahma's feet. But actually he doesn't have parents as such in terms of conception and creation and delivery of the child. He was born on a lotus flower. So he doesn't have parents. But he receives instruction. This is why the time of initiation, Prabhupada explained, first we have our birth parents, mom and dad, yes? Then we have Guru and Shastra, second birth. And that's what happened to Brahma. After he performed his austerity, he was initiated to the Gayatri Mantra. Second birth. And with that second birth, all the Vedas come through. Now, what are those Vedas? What are the Vedas for? They are the manual of this material world. What you should do, what you should not do, just to keep, you know, on the platform of goodness. Now, what do we see in this purport? What are the Vedas? What are the Puranas? What is it good for? Like, for example, in India you have, especially winter time, Bhagavad Saptaha. Yes? In Prayag, in Haridwar, in Ujjain, many places, thousands of people, they sit there for 10 days. They don't move, just like the Chinese. Chinese can sit in one room for 10 hours, they don't move. Whether they understand or not is another question. But you see, the Indians, they can sit in the middle of winter, they have 3-4 chadars over their head and they just listen to the Mahant. Jai ho, jai ho, jai ho. But actually, is transcendental knowledge coming into the heart? Prabhupada was very, very careful about allowing devotees to go and hear from this one and that one and this one. You have to hear always from the mouth of a pure devotee. And if the devotee is not pure, he repeats what the pure devotee has said. Then it's bona fide. So Brahma received transcendental knowledge and gave out the Vedas from the four directions. So that knowledge can be dispatched, so that people know what to do, perform their duties. If they perform their duties, they go up and up and up and up. But tangible, practical, spiritual advancement will only take place once they meet a pure sadhu. Otherwise, it will not go. You have to meet a pure devotee. This is the key, the entrance into Goloka Vrindavan. And that's also mentioned in the Upadeshamrita. Text 7, text 8. You have to go through a spiritual master who is introducing you to the Maha Mantra, train you to the pure chanting, and then gradually follow into the footsteps of the Brijbasis. That's how you enter Vrindavan. There is no other back door, underground, from the sky, it doesn't work. You have to follow into the footsteps of the Brijbasi. To qualify to follow in the footsteps of a Brijbasi, you have to follow your spiritual master, and you have to chant Hare Krishna purely. That's the key. So here in this purport, Prabhupada mentions a Brahmana. He said, there is a verse spoken by a Brahmana which says that he does not know what are the Vedas and he does not know what are the Puranas. Sorry, no time to study the Vedas. How big are the Vedas? Millions and millions and millions of verses. The scholars, they trace back the earliest Veda to the Rig Veda. You know how big the Rig Veda is, and they can't even find everything about the Rig Veda. It's huge. And then you have all the Upanishads. And where are you going to find Krishna in there? So, you stream it down. From the four Vedas, you have the Upanishads. From the Upanishads, what is the main book of the Upanishads? Sri Ishopanishad. Those 18 verses is the condense, it's the Siddhanta of all the 108 Upanishads. Then the Gita Upanishad. That's why Prabhupada explained, Bhagavad Gita is Gita Upanishad. The essence of the Vedas you find in the Bhagavad Gita and then expands into Srimad Bhagavatam. The essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto. And where do you find the essence of the 10th canto? Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now, look at the connection. He quotes a Brahmana. Who is this Brahmana? This Brahmana said, I am not interested in the Vedas and the Puranas. What am I interested in? I'm interested in Nanda Maharaj. Who is Nanda Maharaj? How often do you find the word Nanda Maharaj quoted in the Vedas and the Puranas? Puranas, how many? 18 Puranas, right? And then only one Purana, Bhagavad Purana. In the Bhagavad Purana, you have to go all the way to the 10th canto to find Nanda Maharaj. Why Nanda Maharaj? So who is this Brahmana? Raghupati Upadhyaya. Have you ever heard that name before? Raghupati Upadhyaya. I looked it up last night. So Raghupati Upadhyaya, he was a pure Brahmana. It's very, very difficult to know or to say who was who during the time of Lord Chaitanya. Because as you know, first Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and before him came his parents, his associates, Advaitacharya. Here in the case of Brahma, Haridas Thakur, yes? And so many other associates came. We knew who they are. But there were so many others. When you read Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's mentioned that, for example, Lord Chaitanya would come into a village, he would perform kirtan, and Vrindavan Das Thakur mentions that that very night, the entire village attained pure bhakti. Who were these villagers? He's questioning. He said, many yogis and gyanis and demigods who have been performing austerities and begging and praying to please take birth in this world so they can witness the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and finish the cycle of birth and death and go back to Krishna. All the people that met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he traveled all around India, as we know from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he met people, he chanted Hare Krishna, they became completely addicted. They went home, they chanted Hare Krishna, these people became addicted. They spoke to the neighbor, they became addicted, the whole village started chanting. All of these people were liberated. All of them. And this is not liberation in impersonal liberation merging. This is liberation means go back to Krishna. Imagine you find yourself face to face with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What are the chances that you're going to come out with material desires? No chance. And we know from the 10th chapter of Adilila how the Panchatattva, they planned to break open the storehouse of love of God. What was in that storehouse? Harinam. Like a flood. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, when there is a flood, what happens? Like we had floods in Beijing 2 weeks ago. It was a disaster. The entire ground floor of the temple was totally wrecked. Water up to our knees. It was just amazing. And it just kept pouring and pouring and everything started floating. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj mentioned, when there is a flood, nothing survives, right? When you see the floods of Bengal or the floods in Orissa, like now there are floods in Vrindavan, the Yamuna is now flooding Keshigat. Everybody is happy. Yamuna is back into shape. So nothing survives. But then he says there are some floating elements, like trees and wood, and who are these elements? The Mayavadis. They're still floating. They don't want to drown in that ocean of nectar. So what to do? How do you catch them? Lord Chaitanya takes sannyas. Does he take sannyas from Ramanuja Sampradaya? Does he take sannyas from Madhvacharya? No. He takes sannyas within the Mayavadi school. Why? So they say, hey, you're a Mayavadi sannyasi. Come, we want to hear you speak. You want to hear me speak? No problem. You're not going home with Nosika tonight. You're going home with Tilak tonight. That was the plan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, when he went back from Puri to visit Navadvip, he told his mother, he said, I'm sorry, I went completely crazy. I have no idea what went through my head that I took sannyas. 24 years old. His brother had taken sannyas a few years earlier. His father had left his body because he couldn't handle the separation. Mahaprabhu married twice. Still he will take sannyas. Why? Because of these floating pieces in that ocean of nectar of the Harinam. Everyone has to drown. Savabhava Bhattacharya was the first one. Yes? Then he got the Buddhist in South India. Then he came back to Puri. He traveled to Varanasi on his way to Vrindavan. Who was in Varanasi? Prakashananda Sarasvati and his sannyasis. All Mayavad sannyasis. When he arrived in Benares, he said, I came with all these gifts. Who wants to buy? No one's interested to buy. Okay, discounted. Nobody wants to. Okay, free. Nobody wants to take for free. Okay, I'll be back. Went to Vrindavan, came back to Varanasi, said, now we're going to talk serious. And he defeated all the Mayavadi sannyasis, turned them all into Vaishnavas, and in the process, the whole of Varanasi turned into Vaishnavas. Now, he stopped in Allahabad. Who did he meet in Allahabad? Who did he meet in Allahabad? Someone who had escaped from jail. Rupa Goswami. Yes? He met Rupa Goswami in Allahabad. And he instructed him on the science of devotional service. Now, he met two other people in Allahabad. One was Balababat, who met him later on in Puri again, and then he went his own way. But he met this Brahmana, Raghupati Upadhyaya. So when I mentioned we don't know who is who, yesterday I went through this Gaudiya Vaishnavas, who is who in Golalila, and his name is not mentioned there. So we don't know who he is in Krishna's pastime, but he must be someone very special. For example, when Lord Chaitanya met with Ramananda Roy, they had never met before. There was no question. Ramananda Roy was considered a Shudra. Kayasta, community, Shudra. Nobody talks to these people. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a sannyasi, but he is embracing Ramananda Roy. They sit on the bank of the Kaveri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hears from Ramananda Roy. He is drinking his words. He breaks all the rules of Varnashram to drink the words of Krishna Katha. Now when he meets Raghupati Upadhyaya, it's again, you know, love at first sight. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows who he's seeing. So without asking where you're coming from, what's your education, what's your family, are you coming from a Mayavad school? No. The first question he's asking him, he says, please, give me some verses that glorifies Krishna. Now, when we talk about Chaitanya Charitamrita, we know that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes in Bengali. He composed his own verses. He is a poet, Kavi. He composes his own verses. He has the notes from Raghunath Das Goswami and Sarod Damodar. So he's looking from those notes. But he's also composing. Not only he composes in Bengali, but he's composing in Sanskrit also. He's a Sanskrit scholar. I mean, he's over 100 years old. Over 100 years old. He says, I'm blind. My hands are shaking. And all his knowledge is pouring out on the pages. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets Raghupati Upadhyaya. He says, speak about Krishna. Can you imagine? And Raghupati Upadhyaya starts pouring one verse after another. Not that he read in another book. He's composing them. Like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets with Keshava Kashmiri, he says, can you please say something about the Ganga? 100 verses about the Ganga. He's like, hey, I'm good. He said, there's one verse. Something is wrong. So, what do you know? And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes into the Sanskrit and he said, this is not properly composed. The grammar is not right. This is the wrong meaning. He said, oh, who is this? But Raghupati Upadhyaya, pure nectar, comes out of his mouth. And that's what Prabhupada refers to in this purport. What is the mood? What is the consciousness? What's in the heart of Raghupati Upadhyaya? Here is the verse. Shrutim apare shinritim itare bharatam anye bhajantu bhava bhuta ahamiha nandam mande yasyaminde param brahma. He says, those who are afraid of material existence, what do? They worship Vedic literatures. Most people follow scriptures out of fear. And we're talking about the Vedas here. We're not talking about the Bible, the Quran, and the New Testament. Because that's really fearing God. Why fearing God? He has no form. We don't know what he's doing. We are told that he's only punishing people. Of course, it's a God-fearing religion. In the Vedas, it's the same. More or less, if you don't follow the rules, if you don't perform rituals, if you don't perform austerities, this is what will happen. So in many ways, within the Varnashram system, there are some elements of fear. Vaishnavas go beyond the element of fear, beyond the understanding of Varnashram system, and they go straight to Krishna. Now, which Krishna are we interested in? The Krishna in Vrindavan. Because the Krishna in Vrindavan does not follow Varnashram rules. That was Shishupal's statement. When all the kings wanted to install Krishna as the guest of honor, Shishupal said, why him? We don't know if he's a coward boy, we don't know if he's a kshatriya, we don't know if he's a vaishya. He runs after the ladies, he goes and fights, he kills this one. Who is this person? And as we know, one offense after another. And Krishna was counting. 1, 2, 3, 54, 55, 87, 96, 97. Enough. In Vrindavan, there is no Varnashram, even though we have Boma Vrindavan Leela. Yes, in Boma Vrindavan Leela, you have the Brahmanas, you have the Vaishyas. There is some sort of community which is centered around the cows, around the land. It's definitely some sort of Vaishya community and Brahman community. Even the Gopis, they worship Surya, they worship Katyayani, so there is also demigod worship. In Goloka Vrindavan, forget about Varnashram. It's only for the sake of Ras. So Raghupati Upadhyaya says, I'm not interested in going through the Vedas to find Krishna. I'm not interested to go through all the Puranas to find Krishna. I know where Krishna is. All I have to do, he doesn't say, I know where Krishna is in Vrindavan. He said, I know where Nanda Maharaj is. I'm taking shelter of Nanda Maharaj. This is devotee. Like Prabhupada says, I don't know who is Krishna. I know who is my Guru Maharaj. Right? If you know who is your Guru Maharaj, don't worry. You'll get to know Krishna in time. That's why Srinivas Acharya also writes in his Goswami Astakam, He Radhe Braja Devi Ke Chalalite He Nanda Sutta Govardhan Patale Kalindi Sutta. Where are you? Are you at Govardhan? Are you on the bank of, I mean, the Goswamis, they don't know where Krishna is? Of course they know. They are with Krishna 24/7. But the mood is the devotee never finds Krishna. You have to go through a pure devotee to find. He has Krishna. Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, or Narottam Das Thakur, he says, I'm running after you, chanting Krishna, Krishna. You have Krishna, give him to me. We don't have. We receive. So Raghupati Upadhyaya is saying, I only know Nanda Maharaj. Why am I so interested in Nanda Maharaj? Because in Nanda Maharaj's courtyard, there's this little boy who is crawling on his four hands and four legs. That's what I'm interested in. Through Nanda Maharaj, I'll get Krishna. And then Prabhupada's in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because there is a quotation which is connected to this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 8th chapter, which is Krishna manifesting his universal form to Mother Yashoda. And trying to understand who is Mother Yashoda. What Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj did. What do you have to do to get Krishna as your son? What do you have to do? Is that something that everyone can achieve? Those who aspire to Vatsalya Ras. What is the fruit of their meditation? In Dasya Ras, you can become friend. Yes? In Vatsalya Ras, you have parents. In Shakya Ras, you can become friend. Dasya Ras, you become servant. This is feasible. In Vatsalya Ras, what's the result of your meditation? Do you become Mother Yashoda or Nanda Maharaj? No, you can never become Nanda Maharaj. You can never become Mother Yashoda. They are eternal associates of Lord Krishna. That never changes. But there are many householders who constantly meditate on both of them. And they serve Krishna in that way. Just like when Krishna is performing his pastime, he goes from house to house. Their Vatsalya Ras desire is fully fulfilled because Krishna is like their son. So this is the aspiration of the devotee. I want Krishna as my son. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam it's mentioned. There were two devotees who were qualified to receive this Shakti from Nanda and Yashoda. It's Drona and Dara. Shukadev Goswami, because Maharaj Parikshit is puzzled. How can Krishna be attracted to them? What did they do? How come the Supreme Personality of God is going to suck Mother Yashoda's breast to drink milk? What did she do to get this? Even Putana, who smeared poison on her nipples, in the mood of a mother, even though behind it she was a huge demon. What did she get in terms of liberation? She became Krishna's mother. You know, there are some very, very fortunate people, but how do they get to there? That's the whole process of Krishna consciousness. And as we advance in spiritual life, we have to be more and more careful at every step. The condition of our mind, the condition of our heart, the service that we render, what is our motivation? In the introduction of the Upadeshamrita, Prabhupada mentions one word. That Krishna consciousness is only about one thing, and one thing alone. Attitude. You can do so much service. You can pray as much as you want. You can collect so much Lakshmi and distribute so much prasadam. There are some credit. But if the attitude is not there, very, very slow progress. Very slow progress. And what is that attitude? Tinalapi sunichena tararapi sahishnana malina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. This is the third verse of the Shikshastakam, which actually allows us to go through anatta nivritti. Once we come out of anatta nivritti, ayinanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mamishami bhavam budo kripaya tava parapankaja stita dulisatu sambhichintaya. Again, addressing Nanda Maharaj, I am fallen, I have no power, I am useless, please pick me up. Please pick me up. I can't do it on my own. Pick me up from this ocean of birth and death and place me as an atom of your lotus feet. Ayi nanda tanuja kinkaram. So Lord Brahma, he is so proud of Kardama Muni because he has done his duty as a son and as a pure devotee of Krishna. And as a result, Kapila Dev appears. And he will deliver transcendental knowledge. And it's interesting, when you go through the teachings of Kapila Dev to his mother Devahuti, you're expecting to see like something very... I mean, there's one chapter which deals with all the mechanical aspect of the creation, but he goes straight into the whole motivation behind giving that knowledge is to reach pure devotional service. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. Otherwise, there's no point. That's why the jnanis are wasting so much time. They perform tapasya, they study the scriptures, they perform so many rituals to extract themselves from the material energy. But if they don't meet a pure devotee and receive transcendental learning about Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world, they don't go anywhere. This is guaranteed. Not the yogis, not the tapasvis, not the jnanis, not the karmis. The devotees. Okay? Any questions? What I wanted to say also is that after Raghupati Upadhyaya recited that verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to dance. He went into ecstasy. Ecstatic symptoms of love of God. Now we know from the Chaitanya Charitamrita that very few people were able to trigger this in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramananda Roy, Sarva Damodar, Raghunath Das Goswami, who were very, very close to him, they could trigger these symptoms. Raghupati Upadhyaya, just by chanting that verse, put Lord Chaitanya into ecstatic symptoms. And then he said, now speak more, because hey, you know, when you take the Sunday fish, you don't stop at one gulab. You have two, three, four, then you put the halva on top, you put the sweet rice on top, you more paneer, and until you're up to here. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, please, don't stop. Then he began to speak about what is the sweetest thing in the spiritual world? What is the best relationship in Goloka Vrindavan? What is the best place in Goloka Vrindavan? He says, yes, you understood the essence. And he embraced him. I want to find out who is this Raghupati Upadhyaya in his eternal seva. Very, very interesting.
What was the scripture of the verses quoted in? Where?
Excuse me?
Where was that?
In the Chaitanya Charitamrita?
When did he compose? Is it a book by
No, no. He spoke out. He created it on the spot. Yeah. Kavi. It flows. It's like, you know, on a transcendental platform. For example, in the spiritual world. Even, I think, in South India, they have Sanskrit schools, right? Because we know Sanskrit by reciting verses. This is Shruti. Right? Shruti means the verses are there in a sutra form and you recite them. But they are conversation in Sanskrit. I think there's one village recently has been claimed where everybody speaks Sanskrit to each other. So imagine in the spiritual world how they talk to each other. Every word is a Sanskrit verse. So when you're on the platform of pure bhakti, whatever comes out of your mouth is a verse. So Raghupati Upadhyaya, when Lord Chaitanya says, can you please say something? He started reciting in Sanskrit. Like I said before, he did not quote from another book. And many of the verses that came out of that conversation were picked up by Rupa Goswami and he put them in his Padyavali. His Padyavali is this. If you want to set your mind before you chant japa, I used to do this before. I read 4 pages of shlokas from Rupa Goswami in his Padyavali. Beautiful, very, very soothing for the mind. Anything? Yes, Rasamani.
Right at the beginning of your class, you mentioned Guru Sanyam and Shastra and the effects of following specifically. I imagine following Shastra and understanding of my heart. The two other elements that you mentioned.
Two elements? I know I mentioned two things. I know I mentioned two things, I can't remember what they are. Sorry. We can put the recording back. Rewind the tape. Okay, no other questions?
Sorry, this question may sound a bit rough. The world we are living in today is full of torture, murder, rape going on every day. So what is the solution for that?
Take prasadam. When you are dealing with insanity, you don't respond with insanity, you respond with sanity. That's all. The other thing is that we should not expect that the devotees are going to save the world from all the nonsense that goes on. Devotees perform their duties. Prabhupada mentioned that. He said, Krishna consciousness is the highest welfare work in this world. What does that mean? I mean, how many devotees actually do health care or palliative care? How many devotees work in helping people? How many devotees work in social networks to make the community better? How many? Hardly any devotees. People, they have their contributions to make to society. And people do make their contribution. And it should be appreciated. It's not like, they're just demons. No. A lot of people do very good things. We have our part to play. And our part to play has been very clearly delineated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Spiritual food, hearing Krishna Katha, and kirtan. This is what we contribute to society. Whatever impact it has on society, we leave it to Krishna. Now, in this 50th anniversary celebration, if you look back at Prabhupada's contribution to the world, all the stuff that people are getting into today, Prabhupada was into it 50 years ago. Yoga, vegetarianism, the environment, organic farming. People only talk about it now. Prabhupada was way ahead of his time. Way ahead. Prabhupada came to America, started talking about organic farming. Nobody was talking about organic farming before. Nobody. Cow protection. Nobody was talking about it. Now everybody is into it. 50 years later. Vegetarianism. How many vegetarian restaurants were open in those days? No vegetarian restaurant. Nowhere. Maybe one or two in each country. Prabhupada introduced vegetarian restaurant. But not only vegetarian restaurant, prasadam. ISKCON is making a huge contribution as being the highest social welfare activities in the world. Because by doing this, you tap at every level of society. If there is violence, if there are wars, if there are rapes, if there are abuses, if there is corruption, that's the mode of material nature. We have our contribution to make, and devotees are pushing. We can't stop doing something else when we have to do the work of Mahaprabhu. That goes against the teachings of the Acharyas. People say, what are you doing? You're sitting here all day in the temple room. Just talking about Krishna. Yeah, what if we don't talk about Krishna? Who will talk about Krishna? So we have a contribution to make, and we're making it all over the world. Hare Krishna. Yes?
There is this in the Prabhupada appreciate good sentiments of devotees. And they see them, you know, not acting, they also see the other side that the sentiment you should not do it, whether they're making sentiment. But now, you know, like we see the advancement in, you know, it's like kind of a sentiment. How do you understand sentiments?
Sentiment? When you look at sentiment, you're looking at intention. When you say someone has a good sentiment, it's not like, oh, he or she has very nice emotions. No, it's the intention behind the activity. But when Prabhupada says with good sentiment, means a good intention. And therefore you appreciate the intention, the effort which is being made. It's translated as sentiment, but actually it's the intention. But intention has to reflect into results. Otherwise it remains sentiment. Sentiment is a French word, which is really emotions. And that doesn't last. So you may have emotions, like you may jump in kirtan and cry. And then you go to your room and sleep for 10 hours. So what's the point of jumping up and down? This has to translate. Your ecstasies have to translate into something practical. Otherwise, it's just sentiment. So when the devotees make an effort, Prabhupada says, a very good sentiment. A very good intention behind the effort. But it doesn't stop there. I think it's vocabulary, language. Hare Krishna.
I just want to finish
Prasadam.
My understanding.
Breakfast.
Prabhupada said, one should hear from the master and somebody should state of mind.
Huh?
One should hear the knowledge from the sublime state of mind.
From the what?
Sublime state of mind.
Yes.
One should hear a Krishna
katha. In a humble state of mind. Okay. Then? Then?
Then make your own decision.
Make your own what?
Decision.
Make your own decision. No, you don't make your own decision. If you make your own decision, either you're extremely advanced or you are on a mental platform. When it comes to paying your bills, you can make your own decision. When it comes to spiritual advancement, you don't make your own decision. You make your own decision when you are extremely elevated. Krishna can trust you. That's the whole idea of spiritual advancement. We want to show Krishna that he can trust us. So far, we're not very good at this. At least I'm not. To gain Krishna's trust, like you can get your family trust, right? How do you get to have your name in a parent's will? Because they can trust you. So Krishna wants to trust us. What are we going to do to get that trust? We follow. Nothing from the mind. Mine is temporary. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.